the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
May I add my welcome this morning to you all. Whether you've been here 1,000 times or whether you've been here just, this is your first time here. It's great to see you. I did a little bit of maths in my head, and if you've been coming regularly for about 20 years, you would have done 1,000 worship services. So it's great to see you. We're running through a series, if you can have it up. We're into the third session of this mini-series that we've been running during the Sunday mornings. It's slightly different than normal. Normally we would open up the Bible, we'd take a chunk of scripture and unpack it. This is more like a taster meal. So we're taking little bites as we're looking at a broader theme than just one specific book. So far in our series, this series, What Would Jesus Say To? John brought us the message, What Would Jesus Say To The Powerful? And his main thought on that was, use your power generously because it comes from a generous God. Saz's talk on the theme, What Would Jesus Say To The Famous? And her main message was, God values you for who you are, not what you do. And so this morning, as you can see, I'm going to be speaking on what would Jesus say to the most listened to. I wonder who you listen to the most. Whose ideas and thoughts guide you? Who are the movers and shakers in your life? We can be influenced, I think, on all sorts of different levels. I don't know if you've seen the latest John Lewis Christmas advert. Do you give it the thumbs up or thumbs down compared to the previous years? And there's a few examples going back. Advertisers try and shape our thinking, our buying habits. What must I have? That's what the advertisers are trying to influence us on. Going a little bit deeper, maybe, I don't know what newspaper you read or what television news programs, blogs, etc. you follow. But again, we're going a little bit deeper here. So now, people try and shape our political, our social, our economic values. What must I value? Who do we listen to? We can go even deeper, perhaps. Those who influence us at a more fundamental level. The beliefs we hold about life, our place in the world. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What must I believe? And as we give thanks for Rupert this morning, as we pray for him as he begins his life, we're going to spend the next sort of 25 minutes reflecting on what Jesus would say to those who tell us what to believe about life, what's life all about. Now, celebrity endorsements at this time of year are pretty big on the adverts for Christmas. Political parties have their celebrity endorsers. And of course, even the belief systems that people hold are endorsed by different celebrities. Celebrities use their fame to try and shape public opinion, to help us to think about what to do. And these public, these celebrities cover all sorts of different topics, including religion, the church, and God. So I wondered this morning, what would Jesus say to people such as Stephen Fry, Ricky Gervais, Russell Brand, Jeremy Paxman, and many, many other people? We could say that these are the popular intellectuals or the pop intellectuals of our day for some of us. You may not listen to these, but you might well listen to other people. All of these people have tried to shape other people's lives. What would Jesus say? I think he would call on them to three things and ask them, be truthful and honest about this. He would call them to radical honesty, I think. Be radically honest. I think he would say, be radical integrity. Have integrity, radical integrity. And call them to radical hope. Offer radical hope. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're just going to unpack in the next sort of 20 minutes. We're just going to unpack those sorts of themes today. And I think these themes apply to us as well. I think these themes speak into our lives as well. Not only are we people who are who listen to other people, there are people who listen to us. So I think the challenge that Jesus offers to people like Fry, Gervais, etc., are also the challenges that we face in our lives and the influence we have on other people. So let's start with radical honesty. Would Jesus give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to the pop intellectuals of our generations when they talk about religion and belief? Have a think about it. Do you know what? I think at times he would actually give them the thumbs up. I think there are times when the church needs people from outside the church to give it a bit of a shake. I think it's important that as a community of God's people, we're open to criticism. We're open to challenge. Church institutions, and maybe individuals as well, have clearly at times got it wrong. People have sought to protect the church's reputation rather than looking after the victims of both individual and institutional wrongdoing and sin. There's hypocrisy in the church at times. We're hypocrites. And Jesus, from his writings, clearly didn't have any time for hypocrites. Look what he says here. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. Clearly, Jesus' message to the leaders of his community were, be careful. Don't simply act in a certain way. Think about your behaviour. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're doing. Radical honesty means speaking the truth, even when it makes you unpopular. Even when we're criticising those in power and authority, and may result in a backlash against you. But radical honesty works both ways. It means you must always speak the truth, even if the facts work against your side as well. So radical honesty isn't simply about being honest when it suits you. Radical honesty is about being honest when it doesn't suit you, when it makes you uncomfortable, admitting that things and life are different sometimes, that life's not easy. I think that's a message that we inside the church need to hear, as well as the message to those who are criticising the church. It's important that we are honest about our faith and the times that we have when we struggle with faith, when it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. But likewise, for those who critique the church, who offer alternatives, they have to be honest about their answers as well. The problem in the world that we live in at the moment with our fake news, with our tweets, with our sound bites, it's very easy to misunderstand accidentally or deliberately other people's viewpoints. And so it's really, really important, I feel, that Jesus' message about radical honesty is about listening. It's about observing. We have this saying at school, you've got two ears and one mouth. You should always listen twice as much as you speak. And that's a message I think Jesus would also say to those who are listened to in society, those who carry the most influence. We live in a world full of fake news, full of post-truth, we could argue. But I think Jesus would talk to the pop intellectuals and ask them to question, what do you say about other people? What do you say about your own thoughts? Be honest about where you're coming from. Be honest about your message. Question your own ideas. Reflect on where you're coming from. How have you reached that decision? Are you being honest not only with what you're saying about other people, are you being honest about what you're saying with yourself? Again, Jesus warned his own people. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
So both the listened to and us, the listeners, perhaps that's a message for both of us. To be honest
and to listen. Now, Stephen Fry, Ricky Gervais, Russell Brand, etc. They're famous and therefore they have a platform.
And Ricky is well known for his feelings on religion. He's using his platform very strong. And this talk is not just about Ricky particularly, but he's very clear in where he stands. So this is a tweet. Again, he's a tweeter, as much as other people. He tweets a lot. I see atheists are fighting and killing each other again over who doesn't believe in any God the most. Oh no, wait, that never happens. He's very good at the soundbite. He's a comedian. He's very good. Comics are very good at observing the world and looking for patterns in it and finding anomalies. The thing about Twitter, of course, is it's very soundbite.
It's easy entertainment. In a way, it's lazy entertainment because you can just throw it out there and see what happens.
In a sense, he's right, but in a sense, he's wrong as well.
There are plenty of atheists in the world who've caused suffering. There's plenty of atheists in the world who've killed people.
But he's very good at crafting his message.
We don't need to look necessarily far back in history to see where suffering is brought about.
So again, I think Jesus' message to radical honesty would be very much the idea of be truthful, be careful on sound bites. Stephen Fry, a couple of years ago, you can still find it on television, he had an interview in Ireland. And this is what he said. He was asked, what would he say to the Christian God? And he said, how dare you create a world in which there is so much misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world that is so full of injustice and pain? And I think many people listening to a well-respected, a very intelligent man may well be sitting there nodding their heads as well. And I think he makes some honest comments in a lot of what he says. But I think he's being a little bit unfair. I think he's misrepresenting Christianity. At the time, the Archbishop of Canterbury even said he totally respected Stephen Fry's right to make statements, but he totally rejected that who he was talking about was the Christian God. He may be talking about some sort of God, but according to the Archbishop, that is not the God that Christians worship. So I think Jesus would say, be honest in what you say and do, since you shape the lives of others. Take responsibility of finding out what others really believe and do before critiquing it, before making simple one-liners. You may not agree with Christians, but don't misrepresent them to others. And I think that's probably a critique of all of us sometimes. I don't know whether in the office, at home, or whatever. It's very easy to misrepresent people. It's very easy to create what we call a straw man and win that argument. But Jesus would say, if you want to know what Christianity is about, follow me. Spend time with him. Learn from him. See the world through his eyes before you can judge Jesus. So I think we have that challenge as well in our own lives, not just the listened to, but the listeners, that we need to speak truth. But at the same time, we need to think through, what are we claiming? So that's the first one, radical honesty. Let's move to radical integrity. If you read about the life of Jesus, we find that he was just as interested in why people did what they did rather than actually the actions themselves. Perhaps it's because our motives and our actions are intertwined. That it's our motives that lead to our actions. Jesus once criticized, again, the influential of his day, and he said this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." I think Jesus calls on those who we listen to to answer the question, why should you? Why are you saying this? What is your motive behind your message? Have a think. What are the motives possibly people could use? Why do people act in certain ways? What are those motives that they use? You might have thought some motives that were positive. You might have thought some which perhaps are negative. I'm going to put a few up here. Some may be motivated by power. They want to control others. Is that positive? Is that negative? Some may be motivated by truth. They want to know that what they think is true. They're claiming a truth. Some may be motivated by justice. They want the world to be fair, whatever fair means. What does fair look like? Some may be motivated by fame. They want to be liked or loved. They want to be known by others. Some may be motivated by insecurity. They want to be liked and loved. Some may be motivated by love. They want the best for you. Now, I'm not sure what motivates our pop intellectuals. It'd be rude of me to even hazard a guess. It's not my place to do that. But I know that I can actually reflect on my own motives and think about, why do I do what I do? Why do I say what I say? What am I hoping to achieve from it? I wonder if there is a particular default motive in your life. Maybe there's a default motive in my life. Why do we do what we do? What am I hoping to achieve through what I do? Jesus himself, in his own life, his death and resurrection, both in his words and his deeds, I would argue, was motivated by love, wanting the best for other people. Famous words if you're a Christian. But as usual, I harp on about verse 17, which is the second half of that. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God's motive, Jesus' motive for walking on earth, was a motive of love, other-centered, wanted other people to benefit. Jesus was motivated by love. We can return to God without fear, even if we've spent years away from him. There's no sell-by date on God's love. So what is the motive of those who were listened to? And what is the motives that we have in life? So as you journey through this week, why not think about your own motives day by day? Big decisions, small decisions. And maybe that will help you think when you listen to other people, what are their motives behind? And then thinking thirdly, radical hope. What would Jesus say to those who we listen to about the impact or consequences of their message? Where is our life heading? Does it have a direction? Does it have a purpose? Where would we go to find out? Who would we listen to know? What are the people we listen to saying about it? Stephen Fry once said this: life is simpler, cleaner, purer, and happier without God. Do you think he's right? Life is simpler. That's an interesting word. Less complicated, easier, cleaner. Not sure what he means by that word. Life's cleaner. Purer. What's the opposite of pure? Is he saying that life is dirty with God? Life is contaminated with God? And happier without God. Again, what does he mean by that? Does it mean an emotional high? Stephen Fry is a very clever chap. I have total respect for him. He's really interesting to read his autobiographies and things. But is he right to say life is simpler, cleaner, purer, and happier without God? Ricky Gervais has said this: religion is medieval and out of date. He claims we need to grow up and embrace the truth of science. It's a classic statement for some of the people we listen to. And we haven't really got time to unpack it in all its layers and everything. But is he right about that? The truth of science. If we had time, we'd probably explore the difference between science as a methodology, what you do in terms of exploring, science as a way of discovering information, looking for patterns, reflecting on patterns, and scientism as a faith position, as an ideology, as an assumption. And it's very easy to mix those two together. And this is what often happens. So when we see this, we embrace the truth of science. So is Ricky saying that truth can only be found in the scientific method through our observation and patterns of the world? Is that all we're allowed to have in terms of truth? He's telling us that's it. He's making a claim, an absolute claim. Can he prove it? Actually, that truth claim can't be proved by the truth claim that he's claiming, which is an interesting one philosophically. So clearly science is a useful tool, but it can lead in different directions. And is it the only tool? Something worth exploring if that's what you're into. For some of you, it's an important, the philosophy of science is quite an interesting thing to explore. For others of you, you've got other things to do. Jesus, when he was challenged about what he was up to, when he was doing his teaching, when he was healing people, when he was speaking to people, he was challenged by John the Baptist's disciples, trying to work out, what is this guy up to? Why is he here? What's he doing? What's he up to? And then later on, by again, the religious leaders, he was challenged. And at the end of his speech, he said this slightly quirky sentence, "Wisdom is proved right by her children." Which for a Sunday morning is a little bit of a slightly weird one. So I prefer this translation from the Message. "The proof of the pudding is in the eating." I get that one. People often look at the outworking of ideas to see if it's true. We could talk a bit about pragmatism as a method of knowledge, but we won't go down the deep stuff. So in other words, does it work? Where does it lead to? What are the consequences of that system? Do the ideas make sense for you? Do they help us to know how to live a good life, perhaps? What is a good life? What guidance and direction does the teaching of the listened to lead us in our journey of life? In a world where we came around perhaps by chance, how do you decide what's good and bad? Do you just take what society says at this moment in time? Oh, we've changed our minds because now we're over here in history, or now we're over here in history. Is that what we do? That there's no absolute value? It's simply what the biggest community, the most powerful community decides? Is it the tyranny of the majority? Is that what we do? In a world that came by chance, how do we know what the right course of action is? How do we know what decision to make on the road? Science simply describes. Science never gives a value, the scientific method. It can't. It can't identify what's right and what's wrong. So I don't think people like Ricky Gervais, Stephen Fry, can justify a clear purpose for our lives if life came about by chance. There's no master plan, there's no design to the universe. What direction should I go in? What hope do their ideas give to those who are the most successful in life? What hope do their thoughts give to those at the bottom of the pile? Jesus' message is that there is a direction in life. There is a purpose. God loved us so much that he walked the earth. He rescued us from a life of randomness, directionless, a misguided life perhaps. Jesus' wisdom, his teaching, offers us a direction and a hope for tomorrow. This hope is radical because it's not based actually on what we do, of course. It's based on what he said and done. It's radical because I've not earned it. I don't deserve it. It's freely given. So let's just recap as we draw towards the end of our service now. Jesus calls on those who we listen to the most, who influence our lives, to be honest about what they say, to be truthful about their motivations, and to be open about where their ideas lead. As we step out into the week ahead, why not pause at the start of each day and challenge ourselves to think about those words, whose words each of us are going to follow? Or flip it over, perhaps, and think about who will listen to us this week? Whose life will you help to shape in the words that you do, in your actions? Remember, we're not just those who listen, we're also listened to by others around us. I deliberately used the word radical. It was quite trendy 10 years ago to use the word radical. I use the word radical because my training is that you've got to start your phrases each with the same letter. But I think the word radical is important here, and to put it before honesty, to put it before integrity, and put it before hope, is because radical means different. It means not typical. Radical means alternative. And I think the Christian message is an alternative message to society. I think radical means actually not typical. So I think while Jesus is calling Stephen Fry, perhaps, and those other people who we listen to be honest about motivations, about the truth, and about where they lead to, I think it also is a message to us. What sort of life are we living? Who do we follow and why? Who's going to follow us? And what are they going to do from what we see? So as we draw to a close, let me just leave you with this question. Will you live a radical life this week? Will you live a different life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the life of Ricky Gervais and Stephen Fry and others. Help us, Father, not to misrepresent them and their ideas. Help us, Lord, to listen more than we talk sometimes.